This morning we began looking at considering the idea that this is a wonderful time for us as Christians to shine the light of the gospel around us when we look at the world and the divisions and the hatred and the distrust that we find in so many things in the world today, that this is a time that we can let the light of God shine through us and that others could see that there's something wonderful about what we have, and it's a great time for us to be able to lead others to the Lord. And we began looking this morning at, you know, one of the ways that we can let our light shine is by trusting in God, putting our trust fully in Him, standing firm in the confidence that we can have in you know, serving Him and all that He has provided for us, knowing that the confidence we have, we can find genuine rest and comfort in knowing that we have God there for us. We also talked about the need to seek harmony in a world that is so full of division, and it seems like people are, as the old saying goes, they'll fight at the drop of the hat, and they'll even drop the hat. And that seems to be the mindset that so many have. As Christians, we're to be somebody different. We're to be those who are seeking harmony. Now, of course, we seek harmony in the Lord, as we note there in Philippians chapter 4. And we can see once again, you know, Paul entreated Euodia and Syntyche to agree in the Lord, to seek that harmony that is there with the Lord. Using the having the Word of God there as our guidelines to follow after, and always putting Him first and foremost in everything that we do. But the way that we do this to live harmoniously, again, is to treat others with respect, to treat them as we would want to be treated, to, as we noted in Romans chapter 12, to not be haughty, to not look down on those that maybe are of a different way of life than we are, that we lift up others and strive to help them. And then we also noted the importance of rejoicing in the Lord. And the world should see that we have something wonderful in our lives. It should be evident in the way that we live, the way we respond to things. The joy should come through in everything that we do. When you consider all that has been done for us and all that God has provided for us through the death of His Son, the forgiveness of our sins, and knowing that God is there working with us and for us to do good in our lives, and that we have this avenue of prayer with a loving Father who listens to us, who hears our pleas, to know these things, why would we not rejoice? And to know that no matter how bad things might appear to be in this world, no matter how dark the clouds might be, we know that in above and beyond everything physical, there's a wonderful silver lining there of that spiritual abode with God in heaven. And so we have all of these things provided for us, and so we should be rejoicing in the Lord. And it should be something that is visible to those that are around us. Now let's go back and look in Matthew chapter 5 once again, just to kind of refamiliarize ourselves with what Jesus presents there, and to keep in mind this is what we are to be. This is how we are to live our lives. And the reason for this is not just for us, but for all those that we come into contact with. In Matthew chapter 5, beginning there in verse 13, Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." And so as we shine our light on those that are around us, as we, you know, let the light of God shine through us, it's to bring about the glory of God. They see why we are the type of person that we are. And so as we continue looking at this and realizing that we can trust in God and we can know that God is with us, then we need to always strive, and this is so important because it's so absent in this world today. We need to be nice. the memes that are out there concerning, I feel bad for anybody with this name, Karens, and just this hateful individual who comes in and has no idea of being nice, that just wants their way, and that's just the way that people are, it seems. And we as Christians should never be that type of individual. Go back again, if you would, to Philippians chapter 4. In Philippians chapter 4, note there in verse 5, Paul, in writing these things to the Christians there in Philippi, he says, and this is the way it reads in the English Standard Version, "Let your reasonableness be known to everyone." The New American Standard Bible reads here, "Let your gentle spirit be known to all men." Think about that. Your reasonableness. The term used here speaks of this gentle attitude, this gentleness, this kindness, this meekness, a sweet disposition, someone who has a cooperative spirit, someone who's easy to get along with. This is what Paul says we are to be as Christians. And again, when you go back and think about, seeking harmony and you're putting others before you and you're associating with the lowly and such and you put their needs before your own, that's exactly what Paul is talking about here. This reasonableness, this not willing to take advantage of others, but willing to expend yourself to help others, to do what's best for them over what might be better for you. We should be known as someone who is genuinely easy to get along with. And what better way is there for us to shine our light to the world that is around us, that a world that is corroded with divisiveness, with angry disputes, and here we're someone who seeks to be at peace with all men. But what does the world see when it looks at those who claim to be Christians? It's my way or the highway. You don't want to do it the way that I want to do it, you can go find another church somewhere down the road. We're going to start our own religion, our own denomination. We're going to start our own congregation. They see just division after division after division. And yet, God calls us to be kind, to show kindness even to those who mistreat us. Look again in Matthew chapter 5. And you look further there, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 43, where Jesus says, "You've heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." Jesus points to God and saying, that's the type of love we're to show to all men. And isn't it a wonderful thing to know that God loves everyone? What if he just, "I love the Jews and that's it. Everybody else is against me. No love." I don't know if any of y'all have Jewish heritage, but I don't. My entire family would be left out in the cold if it wasn't for the love that God showed for all of mankind. And I'm pretty sure I'm not the only one who has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and so therefore became an enemy of God. And yet God has done wonderful things for me. And you look at the world and you don't just see it raining on the good, righteous Christians' yards, do you? And that's the thing that we see here. Jesus is saying, you're to love as your Father loves. You're to love even the unlovable. Christ died for us while we were unlovable. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that all who would believe in him might not perish but have eternal life. While we were yet ungodly, we read elsewhere that Christ died for us while we were enemies. When you focus on the kindness and the forgiveness that's given you by God, well, it makes it easier to show a similar level of kindness to others that might be those that oppose us, those who mistreat us, those who would take advantage of us. Remember, the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans chapter 12 and verse 18, "If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. It's not their job to be at peace with me. It's my job to be at peace with them. And let me tell you, niceness goes a long ways. When you show kindness to people who perhaps have not experienced kindness, it has a beautiful effect. And it can be a great way of teaching them more about God. Our attitude of cooperativeness, of kindness, will shine brightly in this dark, divisive time where people are not being kind. Now, as we continue to strive to shine in this darkness, nothing can put out our light faster than a big cloud of anxiety. And so, as we go further in Philippians chapter 4, we need to avoid anxiety and find the peace that is there of God, this peace that is available in God. Again, in Philippians chapter 4, there in verse 6, Paul says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Now, let me just say up front, I know this is a lot easier to say than it is to put into practice. Because there's a lot of things in this world to worry about. There's a lot that concerns us. I mean, I grew up there at the tail end of the Cold War. And what do we have? We've got the beginnings of another Cold War going on here. And I'm looking at some of these younger ones and they're like, what about if this happens? Well, that was my childhood. You either survive or you don't. The thing is, if we trust in God, we don't have to fear these things, because what can man do to us? It has been said that there are three kinds of people in this world. Those who have trouble, those who have trouble, and those who have trouble. We all have difficulties and trials and tribulations that we go through. Nobody literally skates through on with a silver spoon in their mouth and everything given to them. We might look at people and think, their life is so much better and so much easier than ours, but it's not. Their anxieties, their concerns, their worries are just like ours. And it's not wrong to be concerned about something, but the problem is when this crosses over in the realm of uncontrolled anxiety, when anxiety controls you rather than you being concerned about something, that anxiety takes over. And it is then that we need to put our trust, going back to our first point this morning, put our trust back in God. Again, go back to Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus teaches about anxiety, about worry, about being overly concerned with the things of this world and where we should put our focus. Matthew chapter 6, there beginning in verse 25, he says, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so loves, so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? Oh, you of little faith, therefore do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." You ever find yourself caught up, you know, concerned about something that's going on in your life and that anxiety is starting to overwhelm you? One of the things that you can do is sit down and write a list of things about that's causing the issue that you're worried about. And then go through and cross off the things you can't do anything about. And oftentimes that's the majority of it. It's completely out of our control. And that's where you put your trust in God. And then the things that are left that you do have control over, take control of those things. We need to truly focus on what we have with God. And again, if we would lose the material mindset, the physical mindset, and really focus on the spiritual, then a lot of these worries and concerns that everybody's so anxious about, they don't matter. Think about it. The Apostle Paul, as Saul of Tarsus, was a horrible individual. He thought he was wonderful. He was a horrid individual. He learned the truth. He obeyed the gospel. And at some point in time, it seems that it was revealed to him the things that he was going to have to suffer as a child of God. There was a period of time where he was outside of Damascus in Arabia. And I believe it's that time that he was receiving all the teachings from Jesus, because he didn't confer with flesh and blood. He received his teachings directly from Christ, just as the apostles did. And perhaps at that time it was revealed all that he had to face. And can you imagine going through your life knowing that in every city you're going to be facing beatings, stonings, imprisonments? That your Jewish brethren are going to do all that they can to try and bring about your destruction? I mean, imagine that first missionary journey, go through Antioch Pisidia, and then come down through Lystra and Iconium, and he's stoned there in Iconium. He gets up, he goes to Derbe. Can you imagine the anxiety that we would experience going from Derbe back to the place where you were stoned and left for dead? And yet, Paul, hey, it's time to go back to Lystra. We need to encourage the brethren there. We need to establish these churches fully. Because he had that trust in God. He knew what God had done for him. He knew what God had provided for him. And he was able to look and see these things. And sometimes it can be helpful when we're overwhelmed by all the things of this world to look at the blessings that we have. Biggest blessing we have is we have an avenue of forgiveness for sin. No matter what we have done, no matter how we have lived, God is willing to cleanse us and to make us whole and right in His sight, and He's willing to forgive us of these things. We have a family, whether it's a physical family that we're blessed with, or more importantly, a spiritual family that loves and cares for us. We need to let, as Paul says, the peace of Christ genuinely rule in our hearts. As you read further in Philippians chapter 4, we see Paul was strengthened knowing that God and his brethren were caring for him. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11, he goes further and he says, "Not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me." You see, Paul put his confidence in God, his confidence in Christ. And he knew that whatever situation he faced, whether it was an experience of having an abundance, brethren have come and brought support and he's well taken care of, or everyone's left him. He's all alone and he's in great need. He knew that God was there with him, and he had that peace of Christ ruling in his heart. And he says, "I can do all things through Him who strengthens me." We have an opportunity in the world, this world of division, to show the world that there is something more wonderful out there, to really see that God still rules in this world and that He provides for us in wonderful ways. And so, the last thing I would like for us to consider is a very important one as well. What do you do when you get up in the morning? A lot of people pick up their phones, turn on their television, maybe break out a newspaper. You start reading the news, scrolling through the news, and is the news ever good? You know, it's always, you know, this problem or that problem, or, you know, this part of the government's doing this and that part of the government's doing this. And then you look at it and nothing's happening, and it's all negative. Maybe you even go into social media, and what do a lot of people do on social media? Complain. And so they're complaining about this, they're complaining about that, or this person or that person. And you just, everywhere you turn, it's negative. And if you go back to Philippians chapter 4, Paul tells us that we need to be spending our time thinking about good things. And again, in Philippians chapter 4, beginning there in verse 8, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Again, you watch the news and read through the news, and it's just ugly division over and over. And you look at, you watch the news, and crime is just a terrible, terrible thing. Do you realize that even with the uptick in crime that we've got and the war going on in Ukraine, we're still living in one of the most peaceful times this world has ever experienced? That overall, we live in a safer society around the world than the world has ever known. We always see all of these negative things. And that's the thing, negative sells. You know, all the problems, that's what draws people in. If you take the time to look around, if you'll look for it, I've got a sneaky feeling that you'll find that love actually is all around. If we would turn off our phones, turn away from these things, and look towards mankind, there's a lot of good that's going on. And even with the war in Ukraine, I mean, you can see all these stories of these individuals who are going in and doing what they can to help others, providing for them and helping them escape these things that they're going through. But that doesn't sell. The scriptures tell us in Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7, for as he thinks within himself, so he is. When you constantly fill your view with negativity, when you constantly fill yourself with the violence of this world and the hatred, it begins to build within you. And it takes over and it dims that light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so, something for you to consider is, what is your focus on a regular basis? What takes up the majority of your time mentally and visually? What kind of entertainment do you find yourself generally turning to? What books or blogs or websites do you read? When it comes to social media, what's your news feed like? What do you post on social media? Do your conversations tend to drift toward the negative? If so, your light is not shining. You're not reflecting the light of God. And so, as Paul says, you might notice if you picked up a bulletin, the top right-hand corner of the front page, that's been on my bulletins that I've been doing since I started them 20-something odd years ago. Change translations a couple of times, but Philippians 4, verse 8, because that's the purpose of the bulletin. Whatever is true, and honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. If you find that your conversations are generally turning more and more negative, then give more time and attention to reading and studying the Word of God. Pay attention to how frequently it talks about the peace that we can have with God. How much it talks about the love that God has shown us, the love that God has for mankind, and the love that we can have in our own life. Don't let yourself focus and dwell on all of this so-called news that's there. Let me let you know a little secret. In the long term, it doesn't matter who's president of the United States. In the long term, it doesn't matter if the United States of America continues to stand. Now, none of us like to think about these things, but none of that really matters when you look at things from the eternal perspective. The one thing that matters is God and serving Him. And you know what? The things of this world are always going to disappoint you. You can have the most fantastic person run for Congress or for president and think everything's going to be wonderful, and then, well, they never turn out well, do they? But God doesn't disappoint. You put your faith, you put your trust in God. You read His Word, you look at the truth that is available there. It's just going to bring about wonderful things in your life. And you won't find yourself caught up with anxiety. You'll have that peace that is there with God. You will have reason to rejoice in the Lord, and it will bring about a better mindset, a better attitude, because you're going to go out doing good to others, showing kindness and being harmonious, having that reasonableness about you. And when you become a reasonable person who seeks the good of others, life around you just generally gets better. If we desire to truly let our light shine in the darkness, then we need to be sure that we are focusing on the good things of this Word, focusing on the good things that God has provided for us. And so I would like for you to consider as you go throughout this week to watch over yourself and just take note of the things that you're reading, the things that you're spending a lot of time thinking about, the things that really take up your time, and ask yourself, is this allowing me to shine my light brighter, or is it dimming the light that I'm to be reflecting of God? I'm not saying we have to cut everything out. There's nothing wrong with sports. There's nothing wrong with nerdy things that I like in and of themselves. But when they take up all of your time and all of your focus, and they take you away from the things that really genuinely matter, that's where the problems come in. I mean, even Jesus saw the need to kind of get away from the crowds and relax and just kind of let the mind, you know, chill out for a little while. With all the division and all the hatred that we're witnessing in this world, in this country, and amongst those who claim to be Christians, true Christianity has a chance to shine. And I believe in the world that we're living in, if we would truly strive to be the type of people that God wants us to be, we might see the kind of things that we see in Acts chapter 2. When they saw something wonderful, something far superior than everything that they had ever known. They saw a group of people that at one time were very divisive, and yet they become very united. But here's the thing. It requires each and every one of us to be nice. Each and every one of us to be reasonable. Each and every one of us to seek harmony. Each and every one of us to trust in God. Think of it like a marriage. Let's say a husband and wife are having problems. The husband desperately wants to fix those problems. The wife could care less. And we can flip the roles if that bothers you. The wife could care less. Are they going to fix their problems? No. It takes both parts wanting to fix it. This is why I've said in the 26 years plus that I've been preaching that, you know, a congregation will not grow to its full potential until every member is working at their full potential. And it might be that there's a few bright spots where people are seeing the love amongst certain congregations, but then others, it's like they're trying to dim the light of God. It's our chance, our time to shine the light of the gospel. I can't help but think of Paul and Silas in that dark prison. I wish I knew that I had that kind of faith, that kind of devotion. But I've been through some minor darkness in my life, and I didn't respond like that. But here they've been beaten, they've been thrown into prison, they've been wrongfully arrested, mistreated. And again, what do we see them there doing in that Philippian jail? Singing songs of praise to the Lord and praying to God in such a way that it seems they're having effect on everyone that is around them, so that when the earthquake happens, when the prison doors are shook and they're all open, everybody stays where they are And the jailer sees there's something spectacular there that he desperately needs. You see, Paul understood the mindset and the focus that was needed to maintain his light. And we would do well to follow his teaching, to follow his example. If your life is full of darkness, the light awaits you. I'm afraid too oftentimes we get so caught up in this darkness, we forget that there's a switch that will turn the light back on. And that switch is turning to God. I've always loved the parable of the prodigal son. I don't know if it's because he's the younger son, the black sheep of the family. That's me. But he went as far away as he could from everything that was good. And the thing that is so beautiful about it is that when he's at his lowest, it says he comes to himself. He goes, you know what? Being a servant in my father's house is better than what I'm going through right now. And he begins the journey back. And the true beautiful thing is that his father, every day, scanning the horizon, waiting for that son to return. Every day. And as soon as he sees the dot of his son on the horizon, we see him running to him and throwing his arms around him. That's the way God is towards us. When we choose to go our own way, we live our lives of profligate sin, God is waiting for us to turn. And the moment we come to ourselves, realize our condition, and turn back to God, God opens up his arms and welcomes us back in. The darkness that we're in is destroyed by the light of God. If you find yourself in darkness, why not turn on the light by turning back to God? If there's anything in your life that you're going through, struggles that you're facing, I would like to encourage you to once again turn yourself back to God, to devote yourself to Him, and to be that which can shine the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ to others. Whatever your situation might be, if you need to obey the gospel, or if you need to be restored, if you need to come back and once again dwell in the light of God, this is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your guaranteed time from God.